Media is recorded live before a studio audience of famous American cartoonists who could pass for gay in the new media capital of the world, St. Petersburg, Florida.
Hey, did you know that you can listen to the latest Mr. Media on your phone with the Stitcher app? Stitcher is smart radio for your smartphone. Mr. Media is on demand and on the go with Stitcher. Download Stitcher for your phone today. Get the free download at Stitcher.com. That's Stitcher.com.
So much media, so little time. Who keeps track of it all? That would be me. This is Bob Andelman, and this is the Mr. Media Interview. You know, MrMedia.com, MrMedia.com. Stop by and check it out. There are more than 700 archived celebrity interviews for your listening pleasure. The show is brought to you today by Audible. Audible is offering Mr. Media listeners a free audiobook download and a free 14-day trial to give you a chance to check out their amazing service. You can choose a free audiobook from Audible's library of tens of thousands of titles, including today's top business bestsellers, such as The Big Idea by Donny Deutsch, Jay Elliott's The Steve Jobs Way, or even Shark Tales, How I Turned $1,000 into a Billion-Dollar Business by Barbara Corcoran. You can even download the biography of a comic book and graphic novel legend, Will Eisner, called A Spirited Life, which I wrote and read. To download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/radio. Again, that's audibletrial.com/radio for your free audiobook. When it came to Howard Cruz's comic strip character Wendell, the word gay really did mean happy. That's one of the first impressions you get from reading the newly collected strips in The Complete Wendell. It starts on the cover, Wendell beaming at his friends, eyes wide, mouth slightly open, bushy red hair drawing all attention to him. Wendell was a gay character in an era when gay Americans were increasingly stepping out of the shadows, making their voices in politics known, and demanding a share of the equality other minorities had sought before them. As time goes on, we see the almost Archie-like Wendell still have his goofy moments, but there is a genteel radicalization that gradually engulfs the strip, no doubt reflecting the times in which the strip was published. As for the artist, Howard Cruz, the founding editor of Gay Comics, he's an old friend, someone I met through Will Eisner about 8 years ago when the two of them were visiting artists at the Ringling College of Art and Design in Sarasota, Florida. Howard, welcome back to Mr. Media.
Well, thank you for inviting me back.
My pleasure, my pleasure. Congratulations on the new Wendell collection.
Well, thank you very much.
I understand, though, this is not the first time that these strips have been gathered together. So what is new here, or what was the motivation here?
Well, there were three Wendell collections before this one. Two of them were partial collections while the strip was still running. Mm-hmm. The third came out about, I guess, 12 years ago or 11 years ago, which was a complete collection of the series, which ran from 1983 until 1989, with an interruption that's explained in the book. But the problem is, for those in the comics industry, they may remember the sad story of LPC Group, which was a publisher that published that collection, which was called Wendell Altogether, but they went bankrupt shortly after my book was published. And in the confusion involving their stock being tied up in bankruptcy court, that edition barely had a chance to begin filtering out to bookstores when it became unavailable.
I see.
And although it was technically it was technically not out of print until about 3 years ago, because the in the course of the bankruptcy, the imprint, the Olmsted Press imprint under which the Wendell Altogether was published, was sold to a Rhode Island publisher, small press publisher. That publisher kind of inherited a bunch of books and did not really know much about marketing, either to comics, the comics market or the gay market. So essentially the book was off of everyone's radar and to a frustrating degree, considering that it had begun getting good reviews when it first came out. Mm-hmm. So that edition will still float around the internet some in you know, in the used book variety, but it's been out of print now for several years, and Dennis Kitchen helped represent it to Rizzoli, Rizzoli International, the publisher of classy art books, who decided that they would give it a fresh start under a new title, The Complete Wendell, and hopefully it will, you know, have a chance to attract audiences that missed that earlier attempt to get the series out. This one has a little new material. It has a new two-pager that I drew for this book, and it has a very nice introduction by Alison Bechdel, well-known for Fun Home, the great graphic novel from, I think, 3-4 years ago. And so here it is again. This is the complete series, every episode for the entire run of the series, plus a bunch of what I call scrapbook items. They're peripheral strips and bits of artwork involving Wendell that sort of don't fit into the series as a whole, but are interesting to people that like looking at the Wendell characters.
Got it. All right, and I was going to ask you, for viewers who may not know Wendell at this point, obviously you want to introduce them, catch them up on a little bit on where he started, kind of his journey, and where he finished at the time.
Well, I created the series at the invitation of The Advocate, the gay news magazine, because they had become aware of me because of gay-related strips that had appeared in The Village Voice, and also the gay comic series, which started in 1980. So around, I had some of my voice work had been reprinted in The Advocate, and then The Advocate and I began talking about me doing a comic strip. And so I created the Wendell character and his circle of gay friends. The cast grew and grew as the series went on. At first, we didn't know if it would just be an occasional strip, but it was popular enough with Advocate readers that they decided it should run in every issue. So it did for a number of years. It started off, oh, here's one of my show and tells. It started off in what was called the Advocate's Pink Pages, because it was printed on pink paper. This is a tabloid, a very large tabloid-sized page. And through 1984, the strip appeared first in that tabloid, in the back pink pages, which were basically sex ad pages. But finally, they decided the strip was, when it began to run regularly, they put it in the respectable white pages of the main magazine. Only subscribers got the pink pages. The people on the newsstands didn't get the sex ads. So Wendell sort of became available in to a bigger audience. But then The Advocate changed its format to a regular size magazine, and I couldn't shrink the strip as a single pager and still maintain the sort of roomy quality that I had enjoyed on the big tabloid pages. So I ended the strip for a year and a half, but then The Advocate decided that they would like to have it back, and they gave it 2 pages in every issue. So that's the story of why there was an interruption in the middle. And so in the book, there's a change as you go from the first section to the second section. But basically, because it was in the sex ad section, I started off thinking that the strip would just be kind of satirical of the gay singles sex scene of 1983 in New York, where, although I placed the strip not in New York specifically, because I didn't want it to be kind of in the gay ghetto. It's an unnamed city that I sort of think of as somewhere in the middle of the country rather than on either coast. And however, I had barely started the strip and run several episodes when I began to feel uncomfortable with the sort of gay bar single scene being the central motif, given that it was, you know, it become evident that because of the AIDS epidemic, that this was actually it was hard for people to feel lighthearted about that scene because it was actually had precipitated a lot of deaths. So anyway, I switched the focus to when Wendell meets Ollie Chalmers, who becomes his lover. They move in together. Ollie was previously married and has a son, And so that family constellation became the center of the strip. And then, you know, I was trying to reflect the way gay life was lived by, you know, people I knew, friends of mine. And so you had various cast members added to reflect the different sort of types that were around. We had, you know, added lesbian characters, and we added, you know, some characters were more outrageous than others. And it was basically, I wanted the advocate readers to recognize their world in the strip. And the strip reflected current events. AIDS became part of the strip. The homophobia that was rife in the government and in religious organizations became part of the strip. And so news events that advocate readers were reading about or participating in, as in the case of the 1987 March on Washington, my characters would participate in them too. And as a matter of fact, Eddie, my lover then and now my husband here in Massachusetts, he was one of the people who participated in a demonstration of civil, I've gone blank on the name for in civil rights demonstrations where civil disobedience demonstration that resulted in arrest at the Supreme Court building protesting the 1986 Hardwick decision that the Supreme Court that basically said it was okay for states to outlaw gay sex. And this was outrageous, and it has 17 years later, it was overturned. For some reason, 17 years seems a magic number for homophobic laws to be overturned. This year, don't ask, don't tell. At the same same period of, before being reversed. But anyway, so Eddie and I both went to the March on Washington. But then the March on Washington, so that it could be in the Advocate within a week of the March on Washington. So only Eddie got to stay in Washington and actually be arrested. I think the Wendell and Ollie were also arrested, but I just had to imagine what it would be like. We didn't know yet at the time that I drew that strip. As it turned out, nobody got put in a holding cell. They just got little plastic handcuffs and got shuttled around in buses and got their names taken and whatever. That's the way it actually went down. So Wendell and Ollie actually got to sit in a cell with bars.
Well, look, let's take a quick break. When we come back, I want to have you show folks what's on your drawing board behind you. I know we're in your studio, but this is Bob Andelman, and you're listening to and hopefully watching, because that's where all the good stuff is, the Mr. Media radio interview with cartoonist Howard Cruz, whose latest book of collected comic strips is The Complete Wendell. And we'll be right back.
Your donation to the American Red Cross can now help support the efforts of the Japanese Red Cross. In response to the March 2011 earthquake and tsunami in Japan, and given the widespread damage and enormous humanitarian needs, the Japanese Red Cross indicated that it would accept financial support from the American Red Cross for its role in providing first aid, emotional support, and relief items to those displaced. Those who want to help can go to www.redcross.org and donate to Japan Earthquake and Pacific Tsunami. People can also text Red Cross to 90999 to make a $10 donation to help those affected by this disaster. Your gift to the American Red Cross will support the disaster relief efforts to help those affected by the earthquake in Japan and the tsunami throughout the Pacific. Financial contributions to the American Red Cross are tax deductible. On those rare occasions when donations exceed American Red Cross expenses for a specific disaster, contributions are used to prepare for and serve victims of other disasters.
This is Bob Andelman, and you're listening to and hopefully watching the Mr. Media radio interview with cartoonist Howard Cruz, whose latest book of collected comic strips is The Complete Wendell. Howard, welcome back. In this segment, I'm hoping you will show us a few things you've got carefully set up behind you on your drawing board.
Okay. Shall I travel to my workspace now?
Please do.
Here we go.
All right.
There, now.
Where did you go? Oh, there you are. Hey.
Adjusting my iMac so that it will photograph me.
Okay. We got you.
So here I am at my drawing table.
All right. So what do you got there?
Well, you told me that as long as we were doing video, that I should try to find things to show. Who knows whether these are interesting. This is the original artwork for the cover of the book. As you can see, these days I do all of my coloring digitally in Photoshop. So there's the finished book, and here's the artwork for it.
Right.
And let's see, what else have I got here? Mementos. This was, I was going through my artifact file, and this shows a little bit about how I work. This is an example of the earliest stage of any of my writing. This will show, but this is basically just notes in pencil on a rough pencil grid where I just get the first notion of what I'm going to put on a comic book page. And then I, in the days of Wendell and all of my underground comic stuff, that was all that was necessary to get started with the drawing. With Stuck Rubber Baby, my graphic novel, it was necessary to lay a more careful structure for the whole book. So in that case, I actually went from pencil notes to a series of typed scripts until I arrived at a working script for the whole book. But for shorter things, that's not really necessary. I just cut the Strathmore illustration board to size and let it sit there empty until I visualize what will go where, and then I start drawing. That's not my way of working.
I guess, Howard, being professional at this, and this is something that, being a layman, I always wonder about with the artist. You know, you've got, in this case, you had two pages for Wendell. So you would start up here, and you'd be telling your story, and then you'd go to the second page. Did you ever get down to here, and then, you know what, I needed more space, and I got to go back? Or did you have it mapped out well enough that that didn't happen?
To avoid that exact thing, I would do panels in various places. I would take the most crucial panels, the ones that had the most vivid action or needed more space, and usually, you know, the beginning and ending. I mean, I basically planned the strip, so I knew how it was going to begin and how it was going to end. And then I would draw a panel here and a panel here, and those were the places where I knew I had to hit those marks in the course of the two pages. I mean, for example, here's one of the two-page strips. As you can see, I draw big.
Yeah.
We're good. But anyway, which I might draw this panel, and I'm here's an action-filled panel. Mm-hmm. That's one that I want to make sure that I have plenty of room for. You know, ones that are basically dialogue. It's easier to manipulate the sizes and composition late in the game. But that way, you know, there's basically no way that I'm going to suddenly discover that I'm on the wrong track after, you know, the way I might if I was just drawing panel one, panel two, panel three, panel four, panel five. That's my way of working. I don't know how other cartoonists work. I don't live near other cartoonists. We don't compare our working methods.
You don't all know each other. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. And this is one of the old tabloid pages. These things were so large to draw that essentially they were too big for one sheet of Strathmore board. I had to do it on two separate sheets, and I had to hinge it for carrying it into the photostat shop in New York, where I would have them reproduced to send to the Advocate. So this is sort of held together by a piece of tape on the back, because I literally didn't have a portfolio that was large enough.
Who would? That's pretty big.
And let's see, when I was in the early days, the first few episodes of the strip, when the advocate and I were getting to know each other, you know, I did what you usually do when you're looking to publish something. I did a sketch version. So this is an example of this, you know, the rough sketch of a Wendell episode from the early days. And then if they were, you know, if it was approved by the advocate editors, then I would go ahead and do the finished artwork. Now, after, I think, 4 episodes, they decided, hey, you're doing fine. We trust you. Just send in the finished script. We don't have to approve it ahead of time. So that was gracious of them and made it simpler for me. So I don't have sketch versions.
Right, so Howard, what else do you have on your table there for us?
Well, I have the one time that Wendell was on the cover of The Advocate, when it had been, there's been this year and a half interruption because the magazine changed formats. And so anyway, when it came back, they did this nice Wendell's back cover to herald its return. And I also have, in this case, I did send a sketch because magazine covers are important.
Yeah.
but let's see, what else? Oh, and oddball things. This was a rough pencil layout of Wendell and Ollie's apartment. I realized after I'd done the series for a while that while I was not a stickler for realism, I did need to have some sense of, okay, so how many rooms are in their apartment and how's the bathroom laid out and other things. So finally I started trying to put together the floor plan of the apartment so I could have some reasonable level of consistency.
Did you make sure that they always slept on the same side of the bed?
I think when I showed them in bed, one was usually on top of the other.
Oh.
I don't know.
Oops.
And this is the Spanish. There were two. It was a two-part Spanish edition.
Oh, cool.
Wendell. That's the only translation we've had so far. We almost had one in French, but it fell apart when the publisher somehow forgot that it was supposed to send in advance. And
see, I don't imagine that happens very often.
Yeah, well, it was frustrating because everything until then was going like gangbusters, and the translation was already in the works. So I'm still hoping that the Stuck Rubber Baby has had 4 translations, and a fifth one is in the works. And I would love to spread Wendell around. Of course, it is very American. I mean, it relates to specifically the climate of America in the 1980s. Mm-hmm. So not only might other readers in other countries have to adjust their creativity to understand what it was like in America in those days. But, you know, I'm still wondering with young people who get this complete Wendell collection, will I be able to put their heads back in the mindset of what it was like when America was much more overtly hostile to gay people, not to mention when there was an epidemic going on where, you know, people who were 21 and 22 were walking around looking like skeletons because of the ravages of AIDS. Mm-hmm. It was a very different time from the scene now, but it was also a very bracing time because it was a great sense of community because we were embattled. Gay people basically had to, you know, put aside differences within the subculture and fight homophobia and AIDS overtly, and consequently the morale within the community was about as good as it can be when people are dying. I think I was very proud of my community during that period. I feel like we rose to the occasion in a really creative way.
Well, Howard, we're almost out of time. I'm just kind of curious, what are you working on today?
Well, actually, I've had a rash of old work being collected. I mean, there's this book. Mm-hmm. It looks like there's a good chance that there will be a book collection of my non-gay work. As you may recall, the last time we spoke, the occasion for that was my book collection of the gay-themed comics over a period of 32 years, called From Headrack to Claude. And now, we don't, you know, the contract isn't signed, so I don't want to say much about it, but there's... I'm optimistic at the moment. It looks like that there will be this other book. So that involves a lot of
sort of retouching artwork that's gotten beaten up over the years, and a certain amount of work that goes into that. And in the back of my mind are, you know, other questions that I talked about in my last interview where, you know, different ways I could go. Should I do a webcomic? Should I do a novel? Should I do a play? All these things are kind of simmering, but right on the front burner right now is going back and trying to make my old work publishable.
Well, the important thing, I think, is keep working, keep busy, keep producing.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't gone to the rocker yet.
Well, folks, listen, you can order Howard Cruz's latest book, The Complete Wendell, from great bookstores everywhere, or you can order it online right now at MrMedia.com at a great price. And you can learn more about cartoonist Howard Cruz and his work at his website, HowardCruz.com. It's Howard and then CRUSE.com. Howard, always a pleasure to see you. Thanks so much.
Same here.
Thank you so much for joining us again on Mr. Media today.
Well, thanks for having me on your show.
Pleasure.
Take care.
All right. And folks, for more original interviews with your favorite American cartoonists, surf over to our main website, MrMedia.com, MrMedia.com. Subscribe to Mr. Media on iTunes, and you'll never miss a show. Just search Mr. Media Interviews from within iTunes and subscribe for free. You can also listen, as Howard does, with a piece of string and a tin can in many locations. If you've got an idea for a guest, a comment on today's show, or would like to advertise on Mr. Media Radio, please email me directly at bob@mrmedia.com, mrmedia.com. You can also follow me and the show on Facebook or Twitter or YouTube. Thanks so much for joining us today. Always appreciate you giving up a little piece of your day and spending it with us. Thanks for watching, everybody.
Bye-bye.
This is Question. You know me as the Amazing Question. Whenever I'm in Vegas, I enjoy picking up girls with Mr. Media.